Hello, and welcome to the Legacy Music Hour video game music podcast. My name is Brent Weinbach.
I am Rob F. Switch.
And
hey,
yeah. Give it up, sure.
We are live.
Yeah, this is our 100th anniversary.
100th celebration. Centennial.
Centennial. This is the Legacy Music Hour Centennial live recording.
And to bring in episode 100, we have invited the listeners to come out to Sunset Boulevard here in Los Angeles. And we have, it's a very festive environment, wouldn't you say, Brent?
Yeah, we have, what do we have? Tell them what we have.
We've got coconut cake.
We got coconut cake. It looks like a snow level.
Right.
It's like snow level cake.
Vegan, homemade vegan peanut butter cookies.
Homemade vegan peanut butter cookies, courtesy of Lindsay.
Lindsay at...
Thank you, Lindsay.
At Amoeba.
At Amoeba.
We're being sponsored by Amoeba.
Amoeba. Yeah, this episode is sponsored by Amoeba Records.
And if to wash all of that goodness down, we have got Homestyle OJ. So please help yourselves to all the OJ you like. The rest of the food is being brought to you by Jimmy's Neutron Grill.
From Double Dragon.
Right.
Five. I think.
Neutro Grill. It's a Neutro Grill. That's what it is.
And also, I wanted to mention, I guess I have some stuff that I wanted to say, but I don't know, maybe we'll just save it for the next episode. You know what I mean? Push that stuff back. There was some stuff in response to some comments or whatever from the previous episode or the previous couple episodes. Maybe save it for the next episode, right. But I do want to say this, though, that this is not... I mean, I know there's a couple people here. It's not like going to be like, I said this already on the show before. It's not going to be, this isn't like a comedy show or a show like that. It's just basically one of our recordings, but with people hanging out.
Right.
Kind of thing.
And we're going to have guests dropping in, and we've got the audience mic'd. So if you guys want to chime in to one of our tracks or if you have comments for yourselves, please step on up and join in the discussion.
Yeah. That speaks to a bigger point, which I don't know if we've ever explained this on the podcast before, but I think this would be a good time now to talk about it, is that, you know, Rob and I are both professional comedians, but when we started this podcast, we specifically made the point to not make it a comedy podcast, or never make it something that was where we would do comedy bits. Obviously, we joke around a little bit on the show, but it's not... It was never something that we intended to be a comedy thing. It's about the music and being serious about the music, and that's why we started it. So
this is a comedy-free podcast.
Yeah. So just wipe those smiles off your face.
Yeah.
And it's not funny.
Mm-mm.
And you know, just get real.
Just have your cookies and take it.
Yeah. Have your cake and eat it.
Right.
Stuff it. You know.
Yes.
So anyway, but that's just something to... The reason for that, too, is because it's just... to me, what happens on this podcast is very different than, well, what I put out as a comedian. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I just feel like the relationship is very separate. You know, video game music and the comedy, you know?
Right.
For me, you know?
Okay.
So, I don't know. I just thought that would be a good time to say that.
Okay.
After all these 100 years.
After 100 years. 100 years, yeah.
So should we just get right into the music and not talk about anything else?
I think that's what the people are here for, and I think that is what the people demand. Yes.
All right. Well, this is basically going to be like another free play episode, and I guess, Rob, you're going to be starting it off.
I am, and just before we get started here, I would like to thank the very lovely Katie here at NerdMelt, who is running our sound. And took care of all of the technical aspects so we can come to you and bring this podcast to you live. So how about giving it up for Katie? Brent, I'm going to get things started off with a track from Wedding Peach.
Wedding Peach. This is based on a manga, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Super Famicom title right here. Mm-hmm. I thought it would be very appropriate for this episode to start it off, to get things started. The composers for this soundtrack are Innerbrain, Noriko Yamamoto, and Masafumi Ogata. And I'm going to start it off with, we did it!
Yeah.
That's with an exclamation mark.
Yeah.
So, we did it!
So, yeah, sounds good.
Okay.
Yeah, the exclamation point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wedding Peach, and that is how I choose to kick things off here.
With an ending track.
Right.
What sounds like an ending track.
It's what the Switch does.
Yeah, switch it up.
Huh. So this track is just a very triumphant track, and as I'm meeting my cake.
Yeah.
It's very fitting. This is very have your cake and eat it too music.
Well, it's almost like wedding cake, you know?
Oh, right.
Yeah, and it is funny you digging into your cake with this music playing. It you dug into your cake in a very triumphant way, I felt like, you know? Take a bite right now for everybody with this music playing. Here, I'll turn it up a little bit.
Right.
All right. Yeah. All right, very triumphant way to start the show.
Oh, let me just mention quickly, the guests and audience are trickling in, and as I mentioned earlier, we have beverages provided by Jimmy's Nutro Grill from Double Dragon 5. We've got cake, we've got vegan peanut butter cookies, and OJ. So help yourselves.
Yeah, and also, feel free to, these mics are for if you want to come up and make comments also on the tracks, if you want to, you know?
Oh, we've got it.
Those cookies were really good, by the way.
Oh, yeah. What's your name?
I'm Adam.
Okay, Adam.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you got to tell. What's her name? Louise?
Lindsay.
Lindsay.
Yeah.
Let Lindsay know that there's two fans already for the vegan peanut butter cookies. Rob F. Switch and Adam.
Hey, the cookies are upstaging the music, I think, on this episode. All right. I'm going to play a track now from... this is from a Famicom-only release called Utsurun Desu. Kawauso Hawaii e Iku. And this is based on a manga as well called Utsurun Desu. And I don't have a composer for this, but it's made by a company called Takara. And the track we're going to hear is Stage 3, 6, and 9. And this almost would have been a shorty track. But it was about 17 seconds long, so it missed the cutoff by 2 seconds. But this is a good track. It kind of has a jazzy kind of feel to it. It's good. And that's the track we're going to hear on the Legacy Music Hour 100th anniversary. Music from Utsurun Desu Kawauso Hawaii e Iku. And this is stage 3, 6, and 9. And yeah, that's that.
Hmm.
I love that part right there. That dun 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 dun. Dun. It's like, it sounds so, you know, it kind of has like a jazzy sound to it, you know.
You know what's great about this track is if you're playing this game and you're on stage three, and you think, "Wow, this! I wish I could hear that track again."
Yeah, yeah.
Stage six is coming up, and then when you're done with stage six, you think, "Oh, now I'm good." Yeah. But then stage nine comes around. What a nice surprise indeed.
You guys like the song, right? It's good, right? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I just wanted to say that, like, my favorite thing about the podcast in general is that you find these tracks from games that I never played or never had an opportunity to play. Like, this game only came out in Japan, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, like, I just love that you guys find these awesome tracks that I never would have been able to hear otherwise.
Oh, yeah, thanks. Yeah, and that's listener Brian, just to give a name to voices, you know. But yeah, no, this game is actually really weird. It's the manga it's based on is totally zany, and there's just all kinds of weird stuff in it, and the game is really ridiculous and silly too. I think the final boss is this businessman. It's just like a businessman on all fours, and that's the final boss is a businessman. Yeah.
Do you have a translation for that title?
No, I don't. But it's something about him. It's something related to whatever that character's name is going on a Hawaiian adventure or something, or a Hawaiian vacation, or he's on his way to a Hawaiian vacation, something like that. Yeah, something to that. Maybe our listener Ayumi will tell us. All right. So at this point, we're gonna why don't we have Nathan and Pablo come up. And these are previous guests. This is Pablo Burt and Nathan Barnett. Previous guests on the Legacy Music Hour. Nathan is a comedian and a video game humorist, I would say, right?
Humorist and enthusiast.
Yeah, something.
The only way to promote the video games for me is through comedy.
He does. He has a friend named Keith Apicary, who's probably more into video games than you, maybe.
And
intense guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Pablo Burt is until like about a year ago, right? He had the Guinness World Record for beating Battletoads in the shortest amount of time for the Nintendo.
Former world record holder.
Wow. And also is a Tetris Attack expert.
Yeah.
Master.
That's true, though I haven't played in years, but yeah, that's true.
And also developed, had a website where you develop a bunch of moves for Tetris Attack that other people use to ultimately, you know, top your scores, but you pioneered those moves though.
Yeah, the students often surpass the teachers, so yeah. But it was fun. It was fun to teach people and things like that. I'm not a very good website maker. I just like to play games, so the site's long since been abandoned.
I know, but you got to put it back up, I think, you know.
Yeah, you were
maybe
looking
for the 100th anniversary, you know, in celebration of the 100th anniversary, put the Tetris Attack site back
up. Yeah, I did make the site about 100 years ago, so it would be the anniversary for that too, yeah.
Well, so if anybody here, we've got a great resource in Pablo, so if anyone here is from 1997, please talk to Pablo. Get all your Tetris Attack tips.
And Nathan, you had okay. Anyway, so yeah, we're gonna play some tracks, and you guys just feel free to just pour your hearts out tracks or whatever we're gonna play. So yeah, go on.
Okay, so my next track is coming from a game called Battle Golfer Yui, which is a Japanese only release on the Japanese equivalent of the Sega Genesis. Who knows what the Japanese equivalent of the Sega Genesis is? Audience?
Wasn't it just a PAL Genesis?
I know Nathan knows, and I know his friend Keith knows.
Mega Drive, right?
Ah, see, I thought I was giving him the audience, but...
Oh. Okay. I'm not an audience member anymore?
No, you're not.
You've crossed the line.
No,
did you guys know it was the Mega Drive?
You guys don't know
that? Has red buttons.
See, they didn't know anyway. So
if we ever say Mega Drive on the show, we mean the Japanese version of... Mm-hmm. You guys know what a Super Famicom is, right?
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
That's the Japanese version of Neo Geo.
The composers.
I'm just kidding.
The composers for Battle Golf for Yui are Naka-chan Thrisai, Kentakun Yada, Maru-chan Wa Omota, and Kyopo Riran. Okay. The track I'll be playing, Do. There is Dew from Battle Golf for Yui.
Yeah.
It's kind of a... you said it was a little melancholy.
Well, no, it is and sexy, too, at the same time.
It's sexy track.
And sad. Okay. It's just... I've never heard that combination before, but I like that. I like it. It's jazzy, too. It's got a jazzy... I love the end where you just... It's just the drums, you know? I love that.
In keeping with the wedding theme, this is sort of like... having your first dance, you know?
Mm. Yeah, okay. And realizing you made a huge mistake.
Yeah.
I kind of want to get to that last part again.
The breakdown?
Yeah, the breakdown. This is good, you know? This has got to be some kind of ending music or something, right?
It sounds like credits or something.
Yeah. This is going to be, well...
What's the game again?
Battle Golf for Yui.
Is it a golf game?
Yeah.
I think it's like an action golf game, I think.
It's when you miss. Yeah, you get your ball stuck in the
sand. You never hear this much of the song. You hear like the first 5 seconds.
This is when you...
extended cut.
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
Here comes.
Wow.
That's good. Good choice. That's a good track.
Right.
You know what it reminds me of?
What is that?
A Vangelis song or like Blade Runner or something.
Oh, yeah. I think a lot of Genesis stuff sounds like Vangelis, mm-hmm. Vangelis, whatever, yeah.
Right. Beautiful.
Yeah, it's nice. That's a nice track. Mm-hmm. Nice track. Good choice.
Didn't expect to feel romantic up here.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's the thing I've said many times on the podcast before, and I'll say it again. This music, it moves you in certain ways, and it can be very sexy. So, you know, me personally, with my wife, I can't really get her into the music, but...
Maybe you could with this one.
That's what I'm saying, right?
The transition song.
Exactly.
I have another Super Famicom only release here. This is called Kingyo Chuiho Tobidase Game Gakuen. And this is also based on a manga. I think it's called, the manga is called Kingyo Chuiho. And it's called, it translates to Goldfish Warning. And the music is composed by Yasuyuki Suzuki. And the track we're going to hear is Bomb Game. And this is a really cool track. It's not super melodic, but it's just got a really cool modern sound to it. And this whole soundtrack is really good to this game. So again, this is music by Yasuyuki Suzuki, music from Kingyo Chuiho Tobidase Game Gakuen. Music from Kingyo Chuiho Tobidase Game Gakuen, music by Yasuyuki Suzuki. This is called Bomb Game. And there's like this really cool, weird bass sound. Did you hear that's like this? You hear that?
I was gonna say that I've never heard a Super Nintendo game with those kind of bass sounds. It's weird for Super Nintendo, for sure.
Yeah, I agree. It's almost reminiscent to me of Genesis. Uh-huh. It's very raw. It doesn't sound like Genesis, but it's raw. It's got a raw edge to it.
Yeah
definitely.
Also, I love the beginning, too. The beginning's so cool. It's like, listen to it. Like, the drum beat doesn't kick in yet. I mean, it's slower, kind of. Not slower, but...
half speed, yeah.
Yeah. I like how the drums kick in more like that. Yeah.
This song really reminds me of a song from Donkey Kong Country in the Ice World. It just has the same, but not the melody at all, but like the nice major, you know how it kind of goes from being this dark song and then it has these like major chords in it? Those major chords sound really similar to Donkey Kong Country, actually. This whole thing right here.
This is Super Famicom?
Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't sound like a Genesis, like the bass?
Yeah, that's what he said.
It does have a very synthy sound to it, yeah. I like how that string comes in, though, that, you know, did you hear that part? Yeah.
Yeah. It's almost Jimmy's Neutro Grillish. Right? Do you remember that track I played?
I do remember the track,
it's
but...
It's very much... I want to lift weights with you, Nathan. You know what I mean? It's total weightlifting music.
I like how that string comes in like that too.
That's very Donkey Kong Country, also.
Anyway, a cool track. It's very kind of modern sounding. I feel like
it's a good song, yeah. Definitely.
Okay. Now, as the dedicated listeners know, we had a pirate-themed episode recently. That was in the 90s, right?
Yeah, back in the 1990s, yeah.
Right. Well, there was one track I wanted to play, but I didn't get a chance to play it, and it is a Sega Genesis game. It's called High Seas Havoc.
Oh, yeah. This is okay. I played a track from that, yeah.
So the track I'm going to play is called Going on an Adventure.
Yeah, this is good. I had this picked out, too. I mean, not for this episode, as a backup track for the other night.
But, you know, let me do something here with the audience here, okay? So, because this is a pirate-themed game, and that was a pirate episode, and if you heard the episode, we were doing pirate voices, and we were doing pirate impressions throughout the whole episode. So I'm going to introduce the song. I'm going to say "Going on an Adventure," and then you, the audience, just give me your best pirate R. Okay? Can we just practice first? Can I hear your guys' R on three? I'm going to ask for your R, and then we'll hear it. All right? One, two, three.
R.
Oh, that's good. Oh, that's good. Okay, very good. So here we go. After going on an adventure, the next track comes to you from composer Emi Shimizu from the game High Seas Havoc. Here is "Going on an Adventure."
Whoa. That was pretty good.
Be going on an adventure from High Seas Havoc. It be. So it's very upbeat.
Yeah, it's good. This is a good track. I mean, I like this a lot. Yeah.
It's, to me, it's got kind of an 80s step aerobics vibe to it. You know.
What kind of a game is that? Is that a side scroller?
Yeah, I think it's like, yeah, it's a side scroller. Yeah, it's a platformer. Yeah.
What's happening in this level for this song?
In this one, I don't know.
I don't know, yeah.
Trying to imagine
some kind of pirate ship situation, I think.
Always, like, definitely pirate stuff probably going on.
I always try to figure that out. So when Brent plays some tracks for me sometimes, I always, when we started the podcast, I would ask him, what's going on in this part? Because a lot of the tracks that you played early on, from a lot of games you knew. Well, most of the tracks you play are from games, because you play a lot more games than I do.
Yeah.
But definitely, I always like to figure out what's going on.
Yeah.
I'm guessing some pillaging.
some taking of the booty.
Mm-hmm. Maybe this is them running away with all the gold and really happy. No.
And I like how that there's that kind of those drums that come in. You know?
Yeah, it's really like that's the part where you get on Yoshi after stealing all the gold.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it totally sounds like Yoshi music. Yeah, it's like, I think it's right here, probably.
See, you got on Yoshi right now.
Yeah, totally, yeah. Totally Yoshi music, huh? A little bongo music. Bongo beat. Bongo booty.
Oh. Nice.
All right, I'm going to move on to a Genesis game.
All right, sounds good.
This is from Pebble Beach Golf Links. This is music composed by Shigekazu Komaki, and this is the menu music, and this track is just, I don't know, people might not like it, but I think it's just totally good. It's very elevatory, you know, and this whole soundtrack is really good if you're into this kind of thing, you know, if you're into sort of elevator jazz. And when I first heard this track, I thought, oh, this sounds like Michael Franks. Does anybody know who Michael Franks is by any chance? Michael Franks, he did like Eggplant, and he did Popsicle Toes, and he did The Lady Wants to Know, and it's kind of categorized under like sort of soft jazz, sort of pop jazz kind of category, 70s kind of soft jazz, pop jazz. Anyway, but then I thought, no, it's not Michael Franks, Spyrogyra. So Spyrogyra, anybody? No? So Spyrogyra is this like sort of late 70s, early 80s jazz fusion band, but very much a precursor to smooth jazz. And Anyway, it's kind of a combination of Michael Franks and Spyro Gyra. More Spyro Gyra. I mean, really like Spyro. It just sounds like it copied Spyro Gyra. Jacob, actually, I think, might like this track. It might be up your alley, maybe, you know? But anyway, yeah. So this is music from Pebble Beach Golf Links. Music by Shigekazu Kamaki. This is Menu. Beach Golf Links. This is music by Shigekazu Kamaki, and this is called Menu. And I just think this is just a real good sort of jazz fusion jam, you know?
The party definitely started when the xylophone came in.
Yeah. Well, that's so Spyro Gyra right there. I mean, when the xylophone comes in like that, or the marimba or whatever, it's just so Spyro Gyra, you know?
Well, there's like... all the golf games have like these amazing soundtracks that I've never heard before. Like,
oh yeah, golf games have the best.
Neo Turf Masters.
Yeah, it's intense. And plus, like, this is the title, like, so like nobody's gonna hear the past like the first 10 seconds.
This is menu music.
Menu music, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh, okay, so it might be picking level or okay, so that might be longer than like 10 seconds.
You're not gonna make it to the xylophone, unfortunately.
No, we are.
If you're playing the game.
Oh yeah.
You're already onto the course.
I know. It's almost like a secret bonus. It is.
So the very indecisive get to enjoy that.
You don't often have songs in games that have built-in like solos and jams.
I know, listen
to
the solo.
It's not common for sure.
It's crazy. It's a good solo.
And I'm surprised that Genesis did sampling this good. It sounds really good, actually.
Right, right.
It does sound good.
Well, usually, I think the FM synth was usually good at doing kind of marimba-type sounds, you know? That's not a sample, by the way.
That was the FM, really?
I'm almost sure that's the FM, yeah.
I like the clavichord sort of sample.
Yeah.
Very nice. I don't know if that's probably a synth as well, but it sounds...
Everything is all synth,
very
good. Pretty much, yeah. Yeah.
This guy was like, I'm a real musician.
Yeah,
like
totally.
When he made this. He wasn't like, I'm not making this for a video
totally,
game.
Yeah.
I'm legit.
What company did this game?
I'm not sure who did this game, actually. I mean, I think it might have been Sega, actually. I think it was just a straight-up Sega game, yeah.
What year? Wasn't there multiple Pebble Beach games?
I think it was originally arcade, right? Or something? Maybe? I don't know. Anyway, 1994 is this version, at least.
Okay.
You know? Yeah.
And this was towards the end of this Genesis life cycle. And I think this was when the developers were getting the most out of the system. You know, they figured it out, and they were just doing as much as you can.
Yeah.
Or you could at that time, anyway.
Anyway, this is just a real good track. I think maybe my favorite so far, this episode. Anyway.
It almost doesn't sound like video game music.
Yeah, I mean.
I think it does.
Sounds like a live band to me.
Yeah.
This marimba solo.
Actually, yeah, this is really, yeah.
You hear that?
Yeah, this is the jam. This makes me want to go golfing.
Yeah. And then this solo too, right here.
Keyboard solo.
Yeah. This makes me want to go on a Caribbean cruise.
Mm.
That right there, that lick was so jazz, you know? It's so jazz fusion, actually. Just totally Spyro Gyra all the way. If you like that, guys, you will like Spyro Gyra, I'm telling you. If you like that, you'll like Spyro Gyra. Because Spyro Gyra uses synths and stuff, too, so.
If I owned, like, a building that had elevators, I would make this play.
Yeah, definitely. This would be good for the elevator.
If I owned a house, I would just let this play.
Yeah, totally, yeah. If I had a bathroom, I would have this playing in the bathroom.
If I could hear, I would.
Yeah. If I was a real boy, I would listen to this music. So, all right, we're gonna switch guests now.
So we switch seats.
Yeah, you guys can sit on back my lap here. Yeah, totally.
But before we let you guys go, are you guys working on anything?
Oh yeah, you want to plug anything? Yeah, I know Nathan might, or do you not want to say anything?
Oh, I can say something. Okay, yeah. We just last week wrapped a pilot for Adult Swim, half hour, Keith Apicary pilot. So that was really cool. It came out the way we expected. I didn't think we were going to actually capture it the way we wrote it, and we did. So Keith's really gross in it. He doesn't change his clothes once, throws up on himself, wets his pants, among other things. And he's constantly playing video games. He plays a portable GameCube that someone made for me, some kid in England, and I got to use it in the show, and I got to use my Virtual Boy in the show. So it's pretty cool.
Well, yeah. Listen, tell Keith he's got to make a stop on our show one of these days. We'd love to have him back, right, Brent?
Yeah, oh, yeah,
he
sure.
He would love to come back.
Yeah, and especially
won't,
with
won't
the
leave, but.
Especially with the urine and barf and blood stained pants that he had,
he
or whatever.
Blood on his face, blood throw up on his pants and his shirt.
Yeah, so.
IV juice, whatever that stuff is called. Saline, I think.
Orange juice.
Orange.
We got orange juice, we got cake.
He can make a mess.
Peanut butter, vegan cookies.
But yeah. I did that. It was fun.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah. I guess look out for that.
Hopefully we'll hear if we're getting picked up.
Yeah.
So sure enough, it's just a pilot, but hopefully.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah. Fingers and eyes crossed.
That would be awesome to see.
Yeah. It would be fun. So.
Anything you want to mention or?
No, not really. I've been kind of quiet in the video game world lately. No. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maybe next
retired
time.
Retired champion.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I'm just sitting on my throne now and just kind of supervising, watching everyone else.
You're just sitting in your Japanese style cabinet, arcade cabinet, just you know,
right,
watching
exactly.
Over the townsfolk.
What games do you have? I've heard about your games.
Oh gosh, I have a lot of them. I have a lot of games. I mean, I have a lot of arcade games, and I have a lot of like Nintendo, Super Nintendo. So usually, I'll just invite a lot of people over, and we'll just throw in an old game no one's played before, or just play arcade games all night. It's pretty fun.
Brent has told me a lot about these nights, and I've been trying to go.
It's at
that point. It's also the location where I trounced Brent at Street
this
Fighter
is true.
2, and
this
I became the official Street Fighter Legacy Music Hour Street Fighter 2 master.
This is true. I was the official referee at the event, and he definitely won.
Nothing for Brent.
Spyro, you guys got to check out Spyro Gyro. It's like, they're real good, I'm telling you.
That does not go with Street Fighter, but that's okay.
It goes with Sagat, though. kind of.
Same rhythm, but that's about it.
And Pablo, one more thing. Let me say, Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles and Arcade, we're doing it soon, my friend.
Yes, it's right near the house.
Right.
It's happening.
Thanks, guys, for coming on and making an appearance.
Congratulations on the 100th episode.
Thank you. And feel free to hang out. And also, if you want to say other stuff, you can use these audience talk on these mics and stuff, too. So
We've got our next two guests coming up.
So this is Jacob Siroff and Kevin Shea. These are both stand-up comedians. And the reason we had a funny episode... Episode 44, and the theme was all funny tracks, not necessarily good tracks, but tracks that we thought were funny.
The funny part was it didn't work out. The sound got messed
up. Yeah, the sound got messed up on
ironically, for a podcast about music, the soundboard didn't work.
Yeah, there was, well, it was...
We're 30 seconds in, Kevin's used the word ironically incorrectly already.
I don't even I'd know like what that word out. Means.
Then don't use it.
So we, well, I'm going to say it every other sentence now, yeah. Ironically.
Yeah.
This was,
my mic is loud. I thought it was going to get Kevin.
No, I think it's you. I think you're just a man.
That's just pure Judaism.
Yeah.
You're just a hardcore man.
It's a very deep voice you have there. But it's fantastic to have both of you boys back on the show.
Yeah. Thank you.
And that's so we had comedians on because of that, and then these two, and they're our friends.
It's a lot
as well,
cooler
so.
In here.
And it's great to see Kevin with clothes on. Because
yes. Oh, yeah.
When we did the last recording, Kevin was just wearing a pair of shorts and nothing else.
It was so hot in your place.
Yeah. Well, it's fantastic to have you guys here. Have you guys been listening to the tracks while we've been playing?
Yes, I really enjoyed the golf one.
The golf one, right?
Which yeah, one? There's great. Two of them.
The one we just
you
played.
Know that one.
The jazzy one?
Yeah.
I was into the melancholy one, and I didn't find it as sexy as everybody else did.
Oh, really?
Like, I only got pure sadness out of that.
Uh-huh. I felt a combination.
I thought the golf one was kind of sexy. That's
that was
kind of track
sexy.
I would make love to. You know what I mean?
Sexy.
But I thought that the other one, it reminded me more of like, you know, like when Crockett got his Testarossa blown up in Miami Vice, and the kind of like how he would mope around in like a coke stupor, kind of sad. Mm. I didn't get anything sexual.
Yeah, sure.
It's an old reference for a young crowd. Sorry, guys. Miami Vice, going back to...
It's not that,
like,
it's not that
yeah,
old.
It's like
not that
25
old.
Plus years old.
I'm sure everybody here knows who Miami Vice is,
yeah,
right?
But
everybody.
They're thinking of the new Miami Vice.
Oh, I didn't even know there was... See, I'm
just the movie.
I'm out of touch nowadays. I don't even know there was a new Miami Vice, you know?
Well, it was a movie.
All right, let's get into another track here.
Okay. The next track I will be playing comes from the game Elpharia 2, which is a Japanese-only release for the Japanese equivalent of the Super Nintendo. Who in the audience know what the Japanese equivalent of that is?
Mega Drive.
Okay, that guy... I wasn't asking you.
Oh, sorry,
Jacob.
Oh, did you get it right?
No.
Oh.
I think he would know.
I was like, wow, good for
he
you.
Would know better. Yeah, all right.
I threw the question.
Okay, so the name of the composer, Yukihide Takakawa, and the name of the track is Thief Baha's Theme. Baha's theme from the game Elpharia 2.
Reminds me of Miami Vice when Tubbs' girlfriend left him.
What kind of game was that?
This is an RPG game. And as you know, Brent's a big RPG guy.
Is he?
Loves RPGs.
No. I mean, that's the running joke is that he calls me an RPG guy, but I'm not.
Why? Really. Do you know what an RPG is?
I'm not really an RPG.
If I may, that's irony.
That's what?
Sorry, that's irony.
Why is that irony?
Why is that irony?
Because he calls him an RPG guy and he doesn't like RPG. The meaning is the opposite of the.
God, I hate you.
I'm not sure if that means irony either. Actually.
No, that's
yeah.
Irony.
I don't think
that's
so either.
Is. That's what irony is. Calling like, you an RPG guy because you don't like RPG.
In support of Kevin Shea,
sorry.
I'm going to say that. No, I'm just kidding.
Everybody's wrong and I'm right.
I mean Jacob's probably right. He's a stickler for that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
He's a stickler.
But this is an RPG.
He's a stickler.
But hold on. Let's get back to even the more basic question. Do you know what an RPG is?
Role playing game, right? Yeah, like every game out there now. Like World of War, you know that game.
World of War?
What is
World of War?
What's that game?
You say World of War?
The Warcraft one. What is that one? World of War.
That's a massive multiplayer online game.
But is that RPG?
MMO? No, it's an MMO.
God
RPG
damn it!
Like Final Fantasy, Zelda, maybe if you...
Zelda?
Are you into this? Do you play that kind of stuff?
MMOs?
Yeah.
No, not really.
What about...
But I know about them.
What's the old computer RPG game you played on
Ultima?
The keyboard?
Ultima.
Is that what it is? Yeah, that one.
I don't know. That's one of them.
That's one of them, right?
It's an old computer game, yeah.
Yeah, there we go.
good indicator is like the turnstile battles. We need to wait your turn to fight the other person.
Yeah.
That's in a lot
of
them.
Well, there are also like action role-playing games where you don't have to wait. You can just hit. Like Zelda or something.
What about
I was
Starcraft?
A big fan of Miracle Warriors for the Master System as well as Phantasy Star.
Yeah, okay.
I was a Master System guy.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
It's the last
hey, show your
the only system I
show
own.
Your tattoo to the audience.
To the podcast?
Show yeah. my
tattoo.
No, yeah, show your podcast. Yeah, show it to the podcast. Yeah.
Show it
to the people. Yeah.
I have an Alex Kidd tattoo.
Yeah. Look, show it. Get
is it?
Higher. Look at that.
That's
look
commitment.
That. Straight up
that
Alex Kidd tattoo. And in color, too.
Right.
Although the woman messed up the color of the stars on the outside
for
of that.
For the people listening, you can go to the funny episode in our archives and you can see Jacob's tattoo.
Yeah.
This definitely sounds like you're running through a forest and there's elves, is what I get from it.
Oh. Elf running
that's
music.
That's a good one.
Elf runner.
What system was this on?
Super Nintendo, Super Famicom, Super yeah. Famicom.
Am I wrong in saying it sounds like a Golden Axe level?
Huh.
I can see that.
Just the flute, maybe?
Yeah, okay, I can see that, yeah.
I'm getting a Golden Axe vibe.
I'm going to move on to...
That's not RPG, is it? See, I'm getting better at this.
Golden Axe?
Yeah, I'd say
side-scroller.
I'd say beat-em-up. Beat-em-up, side-scroller, beat-em-up, yeah.
Is beat-em-up because you can move laterally?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, like Double Dragon.
Like, yeah, I was going to ask if there's a difference, if how do you differentiate between like an Alex Kidd and a Double Dragon.
Right. What is Alex Kidd?
It's a side-scroller. It's kind of like Sega's answer to Mario in a way, but yeah.
I thought that was Sonic.
It became
Sonic
later.
Well, he became
later.
Sonic later, yeah, but originally, yeah, Alex Kidd.
Ah. It's weird to have a group of people with one Asian guy and he knows the least about
video games. I'm the worst. I'm the worst when it comes to this stuff. And
it's just humanity.
Like, it's like, I feel like I'm at a Korean barbecue and they're talking to me in Korean. I'm just like, I'm sorry. I apologize. I don't know. My parents are white. I blame them. I don't know.
All right, so I'm going to move on to the Super Famicom game. It's a Vietnam War game called Stealth. And I've always thought it's weird. I think games that are based on real wars.
On real
weird.
Wars, yeah.
Like weird, especially Vietnam, too, yeah. You know? But anyway, this is unknown composer, but it's it was published by Hecht and developed by either Hecht or Axis Art Amuse. I think it was Axis Art Amuse, but I'm not sure. And the track we're going to hear is Weapon Select. This is kind of a repetitive track, but I do like it. It's good. It's got a kind of 80s sound to it, and synthy, also pretty synthy. You're going to think it sounds kind of Genesis-y a little bit, even though it's a Super Nintendo track. So
was this released in the States? Or?
No, not released here. No, it was only Japan released.
What was the name of the game?
Stealth.
And it's about Vietnam?
Vietnam War.
You play an American soldier?
Yeah, yeah. So, Vietnam War game.
It's a fun war.
Yeah.
So here's the track from Stealth for the Super Famicom.
Thank you.
music from Stealth.
Really picked up at the end there.
I don't know if I like it. It's kind of sad.
It's not. It's that sad.
It's sad. Sad. I don't know.
For Vietnam, I thought it was pretty chipper. Yeah. It's like that's perfect. Like pre, let's go burn some villages kind of music.
Weapon select.
Don't you want to be upbeat?
What weapon are we going to choose to harm innocent women and children with in this
flamethrowers?
That's a good choice.
What do you guys feel about that song? You guys into it? Choosing? Oh, it's just the choosing.
Yep, right. That's what select means.
So
select your weapon.
The
Vietnam threw me. If you hadn't have said that, if you just said this is some game about war and it's called this is the track for weapon select, I would have said okay, it's pretty innocuous stuff, right?
But right.
Because you said Vietnam, it's such a serious, real thing that happened.
I think it's
such a mess politically. It's not the kind of music you would think you'd. Like, choose weapon. I mean, what kind of... What do you know what the weapons were? I know. Sorry, this is about music. Besides flamethrower and M16, what was that?
Rocket launcher?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, it could be.
I take Napalm. It back. I like it that it's just a weapon select song now. I like it.
It's another... I think it's another instance where the player's not going to hear the coolest part of the song. Because the jazzy part comes in, like...
There's a solo. Late.
Unless yeah. you're really indecisive about your weapon of choice.
You're
like,
really looking at
oh, man. The flamethrower's looking sweet, but the M16's... And if that goes on for long enough, then you can...
Oh. Or you got to get a snack and you leave it on the screen. You go, get a snack, take it, and then you come back.
I think we would
take
there.
A, you
no,
know what?
No.
Have any of you guys actually played this game?
No.
I've seen some footage of it.
Have you?
Is it true that it's unwinnable?
Wait, is that...
It's actually a very subtle and layered joke.
Right.
That was actually a really solid bit.
That was. It took me a second. I was like,
me too.
Wait a second.
Has this guy heard of the game?
I was like, wait a second.
Like, do you know about
this guy
game?
Knows his video. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
He got us.
But yeah, it's weird how like you hear a whole loop of this track, and then the second... Like, it's a repeat of the track, except it's got this solo part to it, though. Not this part, but yeah, you can hear... It's weird. It's subtle, too, actually, you know? It's so weird that it would go that long, you know? Yeah.
That was such a good joke, by the way. It's marinating. More and more. The more I think about it, the more... That was a perfectly written joke, obviously, on the fly, too.
Took me a second. Right.
Okay, I'm moving on to Shatterhand.
I bet you were just like, I hope they play Stealth. I got to use
this joke. I got this.
That's funny. You like came prepared with the Stealth joke. He's like...
Nice one, Brian. Okay, I'm moving on to Shatterhand for the Nintendo Entertainment System. And this is a game I wanted to play a track from during our beat 'em up episode, and you and I got into an argument, kind of a
not an argument
discussion, because I consider this a beat 'em up, and it was not a beat 'em up.
It's not. It wasn't.
Well, Bad Dudes is not a beat 'em up then.
Hey, I don't have anything to say about it. I don't have anything to say about it.
That's
right.
What I deal with on a weekly
basis. He's right.
Basis
he's right. I don't know. Maybe Bad Dudes is not a beat 'em up.
But
after
it
all.
Is classified as a beat 'em up.
I guess.
Why? I don't understand. It seems more like a side scroller. Like
Wait, what game is this? It is more of a side scroller, I guess. You know.
Is there a subcategory? And I feel like I should defer to you here. Is there a subcategory for side scrollers where you can
beat 'em up expert Nathan Barnett?
What about stuff where you can move up and down to balconies and you know like a Rolling Thunder type of situation?
Yeah, Sunset Riders is beat 'em up.
Yeah, I would consider Sunset Riders beat 'em up because you can jump off the horses and go up into the house.
You can go,
I mean, I even sometimes consider it just a straightforward side score. If there's a lot of punching and kicking involved, you're beating people up, so it can be a beat 'em up.
But beat 'em up doesn't refer to the lateral
movement.
Do you
have to have foreground and background to make it a beat 'em up?
I want that to be true so I can make sense of that.
Yeah, right. I've always thought of like beat 'em up as where you have to beat up characters before you can move. You have to kill characters before you can move on to the screen. Like, you can't just pass people up. You know, you have to kill everybody until you move on, you know?
Yeah.
I've always thought that's what a beat 'em up is. So, you know, Ninja Turtles Arcade or, Golden Axe or...
X-Men.
Double Dragon, yeah.
Streets
X-Men,
Rage.
Yeah.
We can all just list all our favorite ones right now if we want.
Is this working?
Oh, is
hello?
That?
Oh, yeah. I was wondering, I mean, in beat 'em ups, do you have to use your hands? Because like Sunset Riders, everyone thinks it's a beat 'em up, but you're shooting people. Yeah. And then Ninja Gaiden, you have a sword. Would
Ninja
you call that
Gaiden? I wouldn't call Ninja Gaiden. I don't think.
Well,
you don't have to stop. You can keep going. I wouldn't say Ninja Gaiden's a beat 'em up, though.
Some people might even say it's a shmup then. Sunset Riders, a side scrolling shmup, or instead of a top
See,
view.
I don't. You have
it's
to.
It's clearly
be,
not. Yeah. But someone yeah. would.
Probably what's, say a, it what's a shmup?
A shoot 'em up.
Oh,
I thought that's where you were.
Yeah, that sounds like Yiddish.
I think beat 'em ups are kind of really specifically like. You could call the first beat 'em up like Double Dragon, like that type of style
yeah.
game. You just walk around like usually it's not just one hit kills the enemy. Usually you have to actually beat 'em up. Usually you actually have to beat 'em up,
yeah.
you know? So I don't know, like a game like Ninja Gaiden, probably not. So Shatterhand, I think, is probably more of a platformer, but in the NES it's a gray area. I think things can be half like people call Battletoads a beat 'em up, and that's really really not true.
What do you know about Battletoads?
Right. Well, I mean,
no. Battletoads is a beat 'em up game
yeah,
for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, I would say Battletoads is a beat 'em up.
No, but
you have to kill everyone before you move on. At least in the first level.
Yeah, but it's got so many more things. It's got all the obstacle courses. Oh, it's got a lot of platforming.
No, it's a mix. It's a mix. But there's certain levels that are definitely beat 'em up levels for sure in that game. I would say.
Wait, hold on. Can I ask you two a question? Why was Ninja Gaiden and Double Dragon different on the system than the arcade?
Well,
it really bugged me when I was a kid.
What do you mean differently?
Well,
the whole game was
Ninja Gaiden was
because they can't really. The arcade is usually a lot more elaborate in the than the home console. Is that?
But you know what I'm talking about. Remember the
Ninja Turtles is a good example of that arcade game.
Yes.
Well, like in general, arcade developers first of all was a different division that would do the home console things. And so the graphics were always downgraded, but they would try to compensate by making the gameplay better. So a lot of people consider the NES versions of a lot of games better. Like, you know, they Bionic Commando and all these things were way better. Contra was way better on Nintendo than in the arcade. It just handled a lot better.
What?
The music was made tighter.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
This was done also with a lot of the Gradius games. The music just sounded really tight on the Nintendo.
And actually, the music to Gradius is actually more minimal than the arcade version, but it's tighter though. Like the arrangement is tighter somehow, even though it's more minimal.
He nailed it with Bionic Commando. That was just like kind of a lame game in the arcade.
I didn't even know that was
great on Nintendo.
So good on Nintendo. Yeah.
And the music sounds better on Nintendo too.
I actually like Jungle Hunt better on the 2600 than the arcade version, which sounds kind of like a stretch, I guess. But
there are cases. There are definitely cases though where the arcade game is better. I mean,
I thought Ninja Gaiden was
Shinobi
in the arcade.
Way better.
Like Ninja Turtles, the arcade game was definitely better than the NES version. I mean,
yeah.
The gameplay, it had more moves, the graphics, everything. There wasn't anything that NES
Space Harrier.
It didn't glitch when too many people on the screen. It didn't slow down when there's too many people on the screen.
Yeah, it's
in the arcade. I'm saying.
I have that arcade game, by the way. So
do I. You have a four-player?
No, just a two-player.
I have a two-player, too. I know. It's not the same, but...
Although, as I got older and started getting into pot, I was grateful for the slowdown playing. my reflexes were so slow, and if it didn't slow down, I would never have got past it. It felt like
it was actually speeding up for you.
So you wouldn't beat people up. You'd wait for the screen to get filled up so it could slow down and enhance your experience.
Or at his level. Right.
I didn't expect so much discussion and controversy from such one talk, but I guess that's the lesson. If you want to spark up a conversation, just ask the question.
I think Brent's right. You have to wait until you beat every person up to continue on.
Okay. And
that
so
makes
he
it
said, and then he got mad because then I played roller games for Nintendo, which has a beat 'em up element to it because there are parts where you have to beat people up and then you can move on. But then there's part of it where you're just racing or whatever. You're just rolling.
Yeah, part of it is it's TNC Surf Design's game. Do you remember that game?
Oh yeah,
that's what it is. That's what roller games is. That's not a true beat 'em up.
I think Brent.
No, but it's some fusion though.
Brent, I think that you should have allowed Shatterhand to be classified as a beat 'em up.
Boom.
I think that there's a lot of games that have aspects of something, and if it even has a slight aspect to it, especially in the NES days, it's really hard to tell genres apart sometimes.
I don't know. I think it's pretty clear if you can just move without having to kill people, then it's not. I wouldn't
classify
Shatterhand. That.
In Shatterhand, there's no go flashing
right,
go
exactly.
symbol.
There's
and
no
arrow,
go
is
symbol.
There.
There's no.
I think the go symbol is a good indicator of a beat 'em up.
Yeah, I would
if it's not there and you're free to roam.
Yeah,
it's just a side scroller.
But let's look. Basically, beat 'em up games.
It's getting heated over here.
Yeah, let's hear the track. Let's hear the track, and then maybe we'll come back and start talking about it more.
One thing we can't. Oh, are you already?
Well, okay. Wait, no. Okay, hold that thought. Introduce
we haven't
the track.
Even heard the track.
The track. Yeah, let's hear
that's
the track.
That's crazy.
Let's
we haven't even
track.
Heard the track. I just.
I hate this track already.
But Pablo, hold that thought. Let's hear this track and then come back with it.
Okay.
And we'll talk 20 more minutes on beat 'em up games.
Shatterhand is the name of the game. It may or may not be a beat 'em up. The composers to this game are Iku Mizutani and Koichi Yamanishi.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Right, Kevin? You know those guys.
I got it. I think I'm related to one of them.
The composers to Shatterhand, I just mentioned, and the name of the track is Area C. Shatterhand, Area C, and that is from Legacy Music Hour favorite developer, Haleko.
I think that, I'm not sure, I think Natsume might have developed this and then Jaleco published it, yeah. Pablo has
no
insight.
I was just going to say actually that, you know, whether or not it's a beat 'em up, I mean, Natsume, I was actually going to change the subject. No.
That's hilarious.
What I was going to say is Natsume is like, they're one of my favorite companies for making good music. I mean,
yeah.
I just track down games made by this company because their soundtracks are always the best. Even if the games aren't always, you know, spectacular, the music is always top notch. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah.
So I was really excited that you were going to play Shatterhand.
And Natsume did in fact develop this, right?
Right. Yeah, they did. They did a lot of games that weren't published by them, so you wouldn't know unless you really dug in that they did it.
Yeah, but, totally. Yeah.
You know, like. What's that game? Abadox. They did that. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure anything. If you hear Iku Mizutani's name, I think that's usually it's going to be a Natsume game. I think. Yeah.
But yeah, these are always very good. One of my favorite Japanese like
Shadow of the Ninja
composers. Yeah, they're Natsume is good. Check out everything they've done.
Yeah, they did Pocky and Rocky. You know, you know about the Pocky and Rocky games.
I've heard of them. I haven't played them, actually. I've checked out a lot of their NES stuff. That's Super Nintendo, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard of it. I haven't gotten to it yet.
I have Pocky and Rocky.
This is like an incredibly dramatic track. There's just a lot of action and drama in it.
Yeah. There's an arc to it, for
I
sure.
Enjoy this one. It's upbeat. Yeah, that one right. Is this on Beverly Hills Cop? It's kind of got that.
It's got what?
Beverly Hills Cop.
Oh, okay. All right, I'm going to play a track from a TurboGrafx-16 game.
Okay.
All right, we haven't heard that yet on this episode. Magical Chase. And this is music composed by Hitoshi Sakimoto and Masaharu Iwata. And as the listeners may know, Hitoshi Sakamoto is one of my favorite video game composers. This is sort of a copycat of the Cotton games. It's not a Cotton game itself, but it looks like one. It's got a girl on a broomstick, and it's a flying shooter. Shoot 'em up. This is final boss music from Magical Chase for the TurboGrafx-16.
Was this available in America?
Yeah, I think so.
Also, I was Googling something, so I didn't get to input on the last track.
Oh, yeah.
It was good. I liked it. let's go on.
So, final boss from Magical Chase. Music from Magical Chase for the TurboGrafx-16. Music by Hitoshi Sakimoto and Masaharu Iwata. This is Final Boss. And I just love that part that's coming up right after this part where it's you can hear a harmony too that happens. This part right here. There's a harmony right here. Can you hear that? I love that. That's just such a cool little extra bonus for me, you know, and for you. Yeah, it's just a cool track. I just think, and then also, you know, here's the thing. I don't love the arpeggio effect to create the illusions of chords a lot of the times, but sometimes I do like it. And in this case, you do sort of hear that. You hear that. You hear that? Those are like this. There's a sort of arpeggiated chord that is happening there, you know. And Hitoshi Sakimoto seems to use that. He's one of the few Japanese composers that seems to use. Well, if this is Hitoshi Sakimoto, not Masaharu Iwata, to use, you know, the arpeggio effect in video game music.
Is the boss scary?
I don't know. But you were
sound scary.
You were scared at the beginning, huh?
Yeah, I was like, not quite like that, but
I want my
like
white
that.
Mommy.
It's something that occurred to me while listening to this. It's like a really intense. It's really intense music, and it's like it's kind of distracting if you're trying to fight the final boss.
That's what they do.
It never occurred to me, but do they do that on purpose so that you have less chance of beating
them?
I don't think so. I don't think it's distracting.
They must, because
that's like
you ever
really,
play
hard to concentrate with something that
this I wouldn't is, think so.
You ever play Stacker?
Pablo, what do you think? Yes.
Is this a beat 'em up?
I have no idea. Probably.
No, it's a shooter.
Oh yeah. My favorite games get scary music during like battles and stuff.
But do you find like it's distracting? I mean,
well,
do you think it makes it harder to beat the main boss if there's like crazy like anxiety music playing?
Probably, but the best, it's like watching a horror movie and they put scary music during the scary parts. It makes it more, you could say less enjoyable, but I think the point is to be scared, you know?
No, I agree, but in a horror movie, you don't have to get away from the killer. Like you're not playing the horror movie. So like, I just wonder if you put it on mute, would you have a better chance of beating the guy because it's so intense?
I think it like builds tension, so you're probably less likely to. I don't know, like it makes you nervous. Like when you get
right.
excited,
that's an interesting point, though.
More,
if you mute it, though, I think if you mute it, you'd mess up because I think your brain is so intertwined with the music.
It adds to the go.
There might be like some audio cues that the boss gives for a movie he's gonna do that you might use.
That's
to
a good point.
Beat him.
Right, yeah, muting it.
I just think, like, to me, this just increases the intensity of playing. I mean, you just get into it more, I think. You know, it just, I mean, just especially this track, it just feels like, especially the way it starts, too, it's all ominous and stuff in the beginning.
There's a deeper question or a bigger question. Do game designers want you to beat the game, or do they not want you to beat the game, or do they want you to beat
it
but have to work really hard to
beat it? I think they want you to beat
it,
but they just want you to, they want to give you a challenge, though, you know? Yeah.
So that's it. I know, obviously, they're not trying to make it as easy as possible.
Well, I mean, with the exception of Revolution X, I think they want you to beat the game,
What about Battletoads?
Yeah, well, I mean, somebody here beat it.
I think they're trying to make it a memorable experience. So, like, if you put a great piece of music on something, like in films, if you see a great sequence that has an amazing piece of music, you'll remember that forever. I think with games, it's a very similar experience.
Yeah,
except
yeah.
for Brent, who hates music in films.
I don't. Well, yeah, if, unless it's used
you
appropriately.
You hate music in films?
I do, actually.
He's got a big thing with...
That's my big pet peeve, is overuse of background music. But it's different with video games. It's such a different thing. It's just that I feel like... You know, I have seen some video games where that can be a too melodramatic sometimes. You know, but that's
Jacob, you should get some music for your stand-up. That might help.
Okay. I think that it depends on the type of gamer you are. Some gamers who are just playing to win, and it's all about winning. Yeah, they might not like things that build tension and stuff, but if you are really passionate about it and you're into it for the experience, then you know you don't necessarily care about winning. Like, I love playing bosses that slaughter me if I'm enjoying it and it looks colorful and the music's nice, like this. I would love playing this boss 100 times, you know? As long as you may feel like you're making progress and it's not too hard. But, you know, I like it when games build a little challenge.
I don't know, man. I don't believe you. 100 times? I think you'd be pissed.
Do you know how many times I played Battletoads to get the world record? More than 100. Let me just say that.
I got to ask you, what is Battletoads? I'm sorry. I'm ignorant. I know. I apologize. I was going to just look it up on my phone, but I wanted to ask.
Yeah, maybe we should leave this for another episode.
We got to move on.
Kevin wasn't here when you were introduced. They said that you were the former. Who's the current world record holder, and are you out to recapture the record?
No, I'm playing other games right now.
Who beat you?
Just some guy on the internet.
The guy from King of Kong?
You don't see him as your nemesis or somebody that you need to...
No, I mean, we even emailed back and forth and stuff, and I was actually one of the people that verified his run as being legit and no cheating.
And what's the difference, what's the time differential between yours and his record?
A minute or two.
You think you can do it?
Although now, there's a guy, though, that came and beat both of us that this thing is ungodly good. Like, I don't know if anyone will ever beat it. I mean, this guy really, really did his homework.
This is the DiMaggio hit streak of Battletoads.
Yeah, it's something else. Yeah.
All right, we got one last segment here.
Okay.
All right, well, I want to thank Kevin, Shay, and Jacob Siroff for coming on.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Thanks,
guys. I learned a lot.
The guy that wrote the Vietnam joke, look into comedy writing. Seriously, that was an amazing joke. Thanks, guys.
That was listener Brian who made that joke. Okay, thank you. We're almost done. We have one last thing. Of course, if you listen to the show, you might be familiar with a segment called VGM Karaoke.
Yeah, right.
And we thought,
If you guys are interested, if you want to look us up, I'm Kevin Shay. You can find me at kevinshay.tv. Check it out. And for Jacob, I don't know, what is yours? What is your website, Jacob? Something with Jew in it?
That's it.
Jew.com. Check that out. I'm sure there's some followers on that tonight.
Okay.
All right. So
Kevin Shay has left the building.
So we're gonna do this thing called VGM Karaoke. Where Rob and I, we wrote lyrics and we're gonna sing them along with a song of our choice or a track of our choice. And let's get into that.
We got to figure out who's going first.
Yeah, who's gonna go first?
Oh, man.
Well, here, should we flip a coin? Can somebody flip a coin?
Right, okay, we'll make this fair. And what, I mean, if someone gets heads or tails, then what?
Oh, one of us has to pick something.
Okay.
What do you want? I'll pick tails.
I'll pick heads. I pick tails. Well, I don't know what I'm going to pick then.
Sonic. I'll pick tails, you pick Sonic. I'll get tails to go, yeah.
Okay.
So I get to pick who goes first?
You pick. It's your pick. Fielder's choice.
What do you want? What do you want to do?
I kind of want to go first and just get it done.
You want to go first?
Yeah.
All right.
I kind of feel right. Like you've been preparing something.
No, it's not that hardcore, but go ahead. Go ahead. All right. You want to go first?
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
I think maybe I want to get up on this mic right here.
All right, so let's...
Mine?
This one?
Okay, I'll use mine.
All right, so it's Batman Return of Joker, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to be playing, I'm going to be singing, or I'm not really singing, but it's a little something I got prepared here.
And which track is it?
Ending.
Okay.
Now, I'm going to need you to chime in just for one part of this.
Really? Okay, yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
I'm just going to ask you a question, and I just need you to say what.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
Yeah. But it's got to be a real genuine what.
Okay.
Okay, and then you'll get the vibe when I'm...
Like,
when
what kind of what? Like, what? Or, like, more like what?
More of, like if I said to you, hey, yo, Brent.
What?
That's good.
Okay. All right. Let me get this track queued up here.
And let me set up the track I'm about to perform for you guys. There's a couple of detractors and haters, we'll call them, out there. And this is a little something I made
for the haters.
For the haters out there.
Okay. Wait. Hold on. Should we wait for Brian though?
Oh, I think Brian left.
No.
But no,
he's taking a call. Should we wait for Brian?
Yeah.
Do you guys want to wait for Brian?
Yeah.
I don't know if this will make it, if you guys are going to cut all this out, but Pablo, in the interim, showed me a definition of irony, which would have made Kevin correct. And so I would like to admit that I'm doing the research right now, but there's a chance I was wrong about that.
That's very thorough.
Yeah, and if you've ever had a conversation with Jacob about, like, Star Wars, you know it's very hard for him to admit there's a chance that he's wrong.
All right, we waited for you, Brian.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay. No, don't be. We wanted you to be here for this.
This
is the 100-year anniversary, VGM karaoke, and Rob's up. You ready?
Okay, count me down.
All right, in 5, 4, 3...
Legacy Music Hour, live at Nerd Melt. Hey, yo, Brent.
What?
All these imitators, perpetrators be hating, trying to stop a player one from doing his thing. F-Switch is going to let him know what time it is. 8-bit and 16-bit music night and day. We play all of the hits that will never fade. Stage one, arise from your grave. Rob F. Switch wanders the streets of rage. Everyone's speaking SNES, but you know he's on the Genesis page. Sega's FM synth is proper. Enter player two. Oh, and you know what Brent's about to do. He ain't got time to mess around. He got big plans. This boy's earthbound. Shout out to all my folks. Rob Hubbard, David Weiss, Jeff Van Dyke, and the Fallen Brothers, representing the West. 8-bit and 16-bit music night and day. We play all of the hits that will never fade. Going too fast to stop, and we won't, because we do what Nintendo don't.
Right.
Just a little something for the haters out there. I screwed up a little bit in there. I mean, the whole thing actually was kind of a screw up, but
man, it's like a poem. It's like poetry mixed with, R&B.
A little bit, yeah. It's a little something I came up with. I mean, it's for the imitators and perpetrators out there.
All right. Well, that's good. That was good.
Okay.
I don't know, Rob. I don't know if I could top that, honestly.
I don't know, man.
But I'll just tell you this. I've got, I've got a message with mine, though, too.
Oh, yeah?
I've got a message, yeah.
For who?
For the lovers.
Ooh.
Not the haters, the lovers.
Okay. Oh, I like that.
I think it's for the lovers. And, okay, this is from Uncharted Waters for the Nintendo. I'm calling this song, okay, let me say this. Part 2 to Uncharted Waters is called New Horizons. This is from Uncharted Waters 1, not New Horizons. But I'm calling this song I wrote, or the lyrics to, New Horizons. Okay, does that make sense? So that's what it's about, New Horizons. All right, here we go. All right. This is, and you're like, I'm gonna reference you to it.
Oh, me?
Yeah. Okay.
Should I count you down?
No. You don't need to count me down, but you can count me down. Actually, yeah.
In five.
I'm nervous about this.
Here we go.
Okay.
In 5, 4, 3.
Can't believe it. 100 episodes. Feels like I beat an RPG. Never cheated and never used the codes. I grinded hours listening. Rob F became the switch. I seem to switch things up too. Once SNES, now Genesis feels like the best. No, not really, I'm just saying FM synth is good. If I had to pick one, I would choose them equally. And then we all could live in harmony. The Double Dragon Boys.
Oh, very good.
I don't know.
A little suspense, and then you had me, and yeah. Then you put the old switcheroo on me.
Yeah.
Well, there it is. BGM karaoke.
That's BGM karaoke. All right, look, so that's it. That's pretty much the end of our episode. I want to thank you all for coming, and I want to thank all the guests that appeared once more. We got Nathan Barnett, Pablo Burt, Jacob Siroff, Kevin Shea.
Right.
And I want to thank all the people
who
showed up.
I think we got a prize for the zinger of the night.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, definitely mixed it up and came and provided the unexpected guffaw, I'll say. And that goes to audience member Brian.
Yeah, we're going to give a prize away. This is from Amoeba Music. This is a $15 gift certificate. See, this is good for pretty much like a CD. You can get an album or something.
Yeah, man. Thank you. Thanks for coming by. And that was really funny with the unbeatable comment. Yeah. Yeah, you brought the house down, my friend.
All right, and I want to thank everybody who's donated to the podcast. I want to thank Andrew from Martinez, Georgia. I want to thank Ed from Forestville, Maryland.
Elam Head Ed.
And I want to thank all the game donators too. John from Des Moines, Iowa.
St. John.
Aaron from Cedar Hill, Missouri.
Aaron Ribs.
And Gabe from Los Angeles, California.
The Gabe.
The Gabe, right. And also Ben from Destiny Games in Canton, Michigan.
Ben.
The Ben.
Right.
And also, what else? What else are we going to thank? Thank Katie once again for helping us with the tech stuff today.
Absolutely. I want to thank Slick Vic for his CDs.
Yeah, and Big Mike.
And Big Mike as well.
And also Bland. For those things,
right?
Those,
and one, come on, Ayumi, for all the translations through 100 episodes.
Yep, and all the other people who comment and stuff too.
Yeah, absolutely.
And okay, I think that's it, right? And here's the other thing: for the next our next three episodes are actually going to be all free play episodes. We're gonna counting down to episode 104 is going to be our New Year's Eve countdown. Our new year starts then in a month because that's when we started the podcast 2 years ago about. So we're going to do three free plays leading up to the best of top 10 countdown for episode 104. So 101, 102, and 103 are all going to be that and free plays. And so that's what you can look forward to in the next few episodes. And also, it's a little bit of a break for us, too, because it's, you know, those are easier topics, obviously. And anything else?
Thank you all for coming out. Thanks so much for the support for 100 episodes.
I want to thank Rob F., Switch.
Oh, I want to thank Brent Weinbach.
Thank you. And we're going to leave you now with I thought this would be appropriate to close the 100th episode with Pitfall 2, Lost Caverns. For the Atari 2600, we haven't played any Atari yet. Boom! He's wearing. Actually, it's funny that Brian, our secret winner for the 100th episode, is wearing an Atari shirt. But so, Pitfall 2, Lost Caverns. When I heard this soundtrack, this was the first time I felt like I noticed a soundtrack being more like Nintendo soundtracks, you know? You know, because aside from that, even if something was continuous, it was pretty like primitive sounding. I mean, I think the first continuous soundtrack to a video game is Space Invaders, and it just it's Moon Patrol or Space. I think it's Moon Patrol or Space Invaders, but it's just four notes, and it just repeats over and over again, and it almost just sounds like sound effects. It doesn't really sound like a song, you know. But and then, you know, Pac-Man had a little bit of music. I mean, there's music in video games, but not until Pitfall 2, Lost Caverns for Atari 2600 do you hear an actual continuous piece that sounds really like something. There's something there compositionally. So the music, I think, is composed by David Crane, who I think programmed the game too. I'm not sure, but this is the main background music, and it actually changes depending on how well you do. But it starts out as good, and then it becomes neutral. And if you do poorly, it turns kind of sad. We're going to hear good and neutral. They kind of transition into each other. If you don't continue to get good items. One thing I want to mention about this soundtrack is that when I first heard it, I actually recorded it onto an audio cassette, and you know, that's how I was able to listen to it over and over again, was just listening to it on my own audio cassette. I didn't bring that audio cassette today because that'd be too hard to play an audio cassette on the podcast, but I'm going to play this off of YouTube. Somebody basically did the same thing, and so the quality is not great, but this is from a YouTube video. So, again, this is music from Pitfall 2, Lost Caverns for the Atari 2600, music by David Crane, and my name is Brent Weinbach.
I am Rob F. Switch.
The name of the program is the Legacy Music Hour. Thank you for listening. Oh, sure.